If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you.
Welcome to Real Talk. I'm Holly McClure, and today I have a special guest with a very different story. For those of you who've lost loved ones through a disease or old age, grief is an expected process we all go through, and one you can kind of adjust to in various stages. But what happens when tragedy strikes? When a traumatic incident, you lose loved ones, your world abruptly changes, and the life that you once had only minutes before is gone. Well, that's what happened to my guest, Debbie Rooney. In January of 2009, a plane crash took the lives of her husband, Bill, and her son, Patrick, and instantly her world was forever changed. Debbie will share how God led her on a journey of grief and self-discovery with the help of others, including two women who had experienced similar situations of grief and tragedy, Gina Pastore and Debbie Siciliani. The three co-wrote the book, Braided, and it tells their stories and their journey of faith, love, doubt, and healing, and even happy endings. It'll help so many women and men going through similar situations. So stay with me for my special guest, Debbie Rooney.
You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven.
She's an author, inspirational speaker at conferences, a co-host on a show on KKLA Radio in Los Angeles, a dear friend and family. Welcome, Debbie Rooney.
Hi there. Talk to you.
I know. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the book and what you've done and the journey you've been on. And this is amazing. And you're doing conferences right now, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. We're kind of promoting our book. But also, you know, any time that we're asked to do any kind of a retreat or some kind of a talk, we're available.
You're available. And the book is called Braided. It's unusual to co-author a book with two other women, isn't it?
yeah, probably. It was a matter of cooperation.
Right. But you shared the stories, and I like how the editor helped or whoever did. I like how it was laid out, how each story is laid out in stages. Because I've known you for years, but there were things I did not know about you until you had it in the book. And I'm like, this girl was on fire. She had a fun past. And it was,
I think, you know, so many times you have to tell the story of, you know, where you started. And you know, then the point of, you know, God being in your life, you know, asking Jesus to take over your life. So there's a before and an after, besides the fact that we wanted to tell the story of our tragic losses and then, you know, how we came together and how now we're wanting to encourage others.
Absolutely. Well, tell us your side of the story. What happened to your husband and son, your husband Bill, son Patrick? And first of all, how long were you and Bill married when the accident happened?
Yeah, we had been married for 27 years. So we were definitely in our, well, looking forward to retirement, and our kids were launching. And so we were, you know, looking forward to our kind of, you know, second half of life.
Right.
Patrick was married, and he had a one-year-old, and he was married to Aaron, and they were expecting a little girl in our first granddaughter in just a couple of months when the accident happened. And yeah, it was, you know, a fairy tale life turned into, you know, a nightmare in an instant.
So take us back to January 2009, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and where you were and what happened on that day.
Yeah. So I have, we raised three boys. Patrick is my oldest. My middle son, Sean, he was playing for the, he had been drafted to the Washington Nationals, and he was playing baseball for them in the minor leagues. And he was also engaged to Jana, and they were going to be married in the fall, and they wanted to have a barn wedding, and we just so happened to have a barn in Colorado. So we lived in California and had property in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. So they were planning for that wedding in the upcoming fall. And then Colin, my youngest, he was playing baseball at Pepperdine University in California. So in January, Bill and Patrick, my husband was a pilot. And so, and that's a part, another part of our fairy tale life, which as a pilot, we got to go follow the kids wherever they were playing baseball. And we loved to do it. And we got to see all kinds of different places. And so that was, it was a fun life. We were in the middle of a really fun life. Mm. And, you know, a very satisfying life, a very full life. And so Patrick and Bill were together in Steamboat Springs working on our property, getting it ready for the upcoming barn wedding in the fall. And my husband called. They were expected to come home on a Saturday. And my husband, Bill, called me and said, Santa Ana winds are blowing really hard at home where we're going to land in Chino, California. And so we're going to postpone the trip. And we're going to just, we're going to fly in tomorrow on Sunday instead, which, you know, when he told me that, I was just totally fine with that and completely understanding of it. So Sunday comes, Sunday morning, and I am expecting a phone call from Bill or from Patrick letting me know that they had arrived safely at the airport and that they were on their way home. But instead of a phone call, I got a knock on my front door. My sister and her husband showed up at my front door, and I opened the door. And when I did, I saw the look on my sister's face, and I knew that something terrible had happened. And that was the day that my fairy tale life turned into my worst nightmare, because she had to tell me that the plane had crashed shortly after takeoff, and there were no survivors. So I was devastated. I was shocked. I can't even describe all the emotions that I was going through. And it was, you know, I had my Sean and Colin also that, you know, were devastated. But then I had Aaron, you know, who lived a block away. Patrick and Aaron just lived right down the street, and she was pregnant with their second child. And you know, as you can imagine, it was devastating.
Devastating, and hard not to be there where you could go to the scene or go to the place. Or I mean, that would be frustrating for me too, where you're just, it's happened, but it's not where you can see it. That's, you know, the reality.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we ended up having to go to Colorado and pick up their ashes, and that was awful. It was awful, unbearable, really. I mean, it is my faith and my leaning on God that got me through.
Wow,
that's the only thing I could say.
And you had to be there to support. I mean, I know Aaron had parents as well, but she shared something with you that the grief both of you were going through that no one else could understand. So, I mean, it's, you know,
absolutely
to hold her up through that.
Yeah, we definitely had a bond in that way. And but there again, you know, in the initial stages of grief, you're just trying to survive, you know, let alone trying to help somebody else get through their grief. So that's a hard thing, and it was complicated. And I you know, as try as I may, I was so deep in my own pain that it was hard to be there for anybody else. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah. And you're just numb. And people are trying to say the right thing and be the right thing and be there, but I'm pretty sure that was hard to go through too, because that's not necessarily what you want at that time, you know?
No one knows what to do. No one knows what to say. I mean, it's where you go to the story of Job, and you just go, the best thing that Job's friends did was just come and just sit with him and don't say a word. There really is nothing to say, and those would be platitudes, and those are not helpful, especially in the initial stages.
I want to ask this question because I know some people have this reaction. Were you mad at God? Did you not understand? Or if you weren't mad, did you not understand why it happened to you? Were you questioning his situation, or where were you on your faith on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was questioning a lot, and I can go back into my journals, my journal entries, and where I asked God why a lot, and I was not mad at God. I was not angry. I was more questioning, like, how, God, could you let this happen? You know, but Patrick was in the beginning of a life being a father, and don't you hold up fatherhood, God? I've said that a lot. Don't you hold up fatherhood as important? Parenting is important, and then you take him from us, you know. And I think it's there's a difference between grieving a husband in your later married years, and grieving a child, whether they're grown or not, they're still your child, and it's not the natural order of things. So, you know, the idea of having Patrick gone before me was just really a lot to handle. Just besides the fact that I didn't have Bill, my husband, to help me grieve him. So, you know, it was, I was so alone in that. And, you know, I knew my husband lived a full life. And by the way, I knew where they were going.
Yes.
Not by the way, I think that's a huge part of this is, you know, that I was confident about where they were going and that I would see them again. But that is the thing that is, can be a platitude from somebody else. See, it's like, well, at least you'll see them again in heaven someday. You know, and it's like, well, you know, I'd really rather that they be here, to be honest.
I would say the same thing.
Yeah,
I would feel the same way. But yeah, they were both in heaven, and you knew that. That is at least comforting, to know that they had their faith so that God held them in their arms those last minutes and took them to heaven and there was no pain. And,
we had a pastor come and do this whole visualization thing, and it's in the book, because that was, it was like to go to think of, you know, the point of, like before the crash, it was like we were visualizing God, you know, just lifting them to heaven with him. And that was a beautiful thing. And that, you know, it doesn't take all the pain away, but it definitely was a comforting thing.
Absolutely. Well, so then Aaron had the baby 2 months later, which your granddaughter, which, you know, the first granddaughter, what a joyous time. And yet that must have been really hard to go through that first year.
Oh, my gosh. You know, when you talk about complicated, it was complicated because it was bittersweet. It's like all these joyous times were just marred by the fact that Patrick wasn't there to enjoy it with us. And Bill wasn't there, and Bill wanted to be a grandpa in the worst way. He was called Grandpa Airplane to Will, and adored Will, and you know, just, we didn't have any girls in the family, so we were like, yay, the girl's coming. And you know, so I know that it would have been such a just a really special time, and there Erin is, you know, delivering her baby without her husband and Reese's father. You know, so
such a hard time to go through. And then, did you have the wedding for Sean and Jana that was planned, that they had been working on? Yeah. Did you end up having that there?
Yeah. So, I mean, that first year was quite a challenge. Sean and Jana wanted to, you know, move ahead as planned, and so, you know, we did. I wanted to honor that for them, and we had it at our property in Steamboat, which, you know, you fly into the airport and you see all those reminders of what had happened, and but then, you know, I remember talking to my pastor beforehand and just him reminding me that they're going to be there. They're going to be there with you in spirit. And, you know, you can rest in that. And I relied on that.
Yes.
as hard as it was, I cried buckets and buckets and buckets of tears. Mm. It was a very, very emotional day. So, you know, one of the things, Holly, that I think that helped me and could help others is that, as tragic as this sounds, you know, it's all filtered through the hand of God. And I would go to stories of others that had gone through things similar to mine, and sometimes even worse than mine. And I saw read how others had coped with just, you know, terrible, terrible tragedies. I mean, there's a book called, I think it's A Grace Disguised by Jerry Sitzer. And he lost his mom and his wife and his daughter all in a car accident.
Wow.
Other kids survived, but what I'm trying to say is that you know, you can ask the whys, but I think there comes a time where you ask the why not me. You know, like, why? It's not that I have any special privileges in this life. You know, we're all called to suffer, and so you know, through my journey, honestly, I would say that I had the privilege of suffering, and it's so weird to say that, and it definitely took a long time to get to that point, but that I have suffered along with God, who lost his son, Jesus, along with Jesus, who died on the cross. I have suffered, and I have come through, tested, and you know, proven faithful.
Yes.
And that's the good part.
and that's probably what's helping when you go to speak with people and meet people who've read your book and doing conferences. That's the hope that you can give them, is that,
absolutely,
you know, that they can come out the other side. And yes, it's painful, and each person has to go through the journey themselves. There's no magic formula how you get through it, you know, or time-wise or months-wise or years-wise. But but you can at least be comforted to know that there are elements, like you said, that you can look at. It's just changing perspective, really, is how it is about it.
Well, and I think that there's a really important thing, too, in terms of, like, you know, that this does take time. it's not like you're hearing, you heard the, you know, the terrible story, and then all of a sudden, you know, I go to, you know, the good parts. Well, there's a lot of time in between that is a process that, you know, I leaned into God. I was intentional. I like I said, read. I journaled. I was in counseling. This was a process, and I tried to meet that pain, you know, head on, because I don't think it's healthy to avoid it. So, you know, that's what I would also encourage people, is that this is nothing that you can avoid, and you just must muster up the courage to put one foot in front of the other, take a step. God will be with you. And he does heal our hearts. He is close to the brokenhearted. All those promises that you read in Scripture are true.
It really does. In fact, you came out the other side, like you said, after several years. But you did begin to live again, and you remarried.
Yeah, I know. This is like a fast forward to the end. The happily ever after. And that was definitely, you know, it's not for everybody. Like, Gina, one of the other authors in the book, you know, she has chosen not to even entertain the idea of getting remarried, but I had a great marriage. I loved being married, and I just knew for myself that I wanted to be married again. And so, you know, what do people do these days that want to be married again and want to find a companion? Well, you go online. And that was like, blah.
Yeah,
I
admire you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I prayed, and I can go back in my journal, and I prayed that, you know, the perfect man would show up on my doorstep. And actually, there was one time, it's like a super funny story, that a guy did show up on my doorstep, and I'm like, is this him? I prayed for him. Is this him? But really, I was at the point of just giving up the whole thing, because it's, you know, meeting people online is not fun. There are advantages to online. If you're a good communicator in writing and maybe over the phone, but not everybody's like that. But I am, and my husband now is also. So going through, you know, an online kind of situation allows you that. You know, you get to know somebody first before you kind of dive in. And we got to know each other over the course of, you know, a couple of months of writing and talking over the phone, because it was long distance. But boy, when I saw his profile and I read his profile, I thought, God, I think my heart went pitter patter, and I started getting all, you know, butterflies and thinking, This might be the one. And sure enough, I mean, Jay was really an answer to my prayers. I there were just these non-negotiables.
Yes.
And he met. I could check all those boxes. And also, I'm a different person than I was, which is, I don't know if everybody would say that, but I would say that I am a different person now, after experiencing what I've experienced, and my faith is stronger. I'm more sure, confident, and sure of myself, and sure of what I want. So, you know, in terms of looking for someone else to, you know, spend the rest of your life with, which is what I wanted to do, you know, I was pretty sure of what I wanted. So, yeah.
And that says a lot. And that says a lot, because you were in a place, and Jay is a wonderful, wonderful man, and was understanding of your situation. And, you know, not all men can step into that role either, you know,
sure.
where there's been, you know, that much kind of grief and loss. And then, And then Aaron got married again, yeah, which we haven't really talked about, but that was another hard thing for you to kind of deal with, not because I don't think of the person, but because it's just realizing, and you had not been remarried yet. So this was before you got remarried.
This was earlier, you know, and that's, you know, there's a big difference between somebody, I was just turning 50 when the accident happened. Aaron was, I think she was like 24 or 25. So, and with small children.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't ready for it, but that's not to say that I didn't think that this was really good for her.
Yes.
You know, and I understood that all, you know, that this was a good thing, but it was just emotionally really hard for me to accept at that time. I felt I wasn't ready to accept, but
right.
I worked really hard to kind of put that aside, put my own feelings aside, and realize that, you know, she doesn't want to spend the rest of her life alone either, you know,
mm-hmm.
And she wanted to be married, and she wanted to find love again. And I can't blame her for that. And honestly, Adam is a wonderful guy, and he, you know, embraced me and my family. And, you know, it took on, you know, raising Patrick's children. You know, and that takes a lot, and that takes a dedicated man, and a man who understands what all is involved and is just willing to step in and embrace it, and
right.
You know, do what's best in the situation, and also, you know, falling in love with Aaron doesn't hurt.
I know, and I will reveal at this point in the show that Adam is my son, and so Debbie is my in-law, and I got to know her journey and watch her walk through that, and understood completely how you were feeling at that time, and then even the years after, you know, because there's the anniversary of his birthday, then the anniversary of when he died, then the anniversary, I mean, yeah, there's things that you continue to go through as a family, and it was important for the older two to still know their dad, even though they didn't. I mean, I think Will knew him for a year, but I mean, you know, to still have a sense of who they are. And so there have been a lot of parts to that story. And honestly, we could go on for another half hour because it's so much more in depth than even what we're just skimming over right now. But I wanted to share that so that it gives people hope that if they're going through something that feels like their life is over, they're not going to go on, it's they're destitute, that there is life after. And whether you choose someone else to marry and go on or whatever it is, God restores and gives back and blesses, doesn't he?
Absolutely. I have learned that you know, God is so good, and that, you know, what he promises, He delivers. And so, you know, one of the things that I just really encourage people to do is lean into God, you know, lean into his word.
Yes.
Take the time to just, you know, be alone with God and let him speak to you. I used to envision, like, just crawling up into my daddy's lap, my daddy God, and that he would, like, put his arms around me and just hold me. And I would take that time, you know, and I experienced God like I could never have imagined, and I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely. For people who want to get a hold of your book, Braided, or to follow you or get in touch with you or find out where your conferences are, how would they do so?
It is braidedbook.com. Very simple.
Very simple. Braided.
And you can get it all there. Braided, B-R-A-I-D-E-D, book. GinaPastori.com.
And they can get information. And there is also Gina Pastori's story is also in there, folks. Debbie Siciliani's story is in there. And Debbie actually did get remarried as well. There's two Debbies spelled differently. And so it's a book that has their stories as well. And I'm telling you, I knew the story. And I wept, I was touched, I had to reread. And it was just so, gratifying to see how God gives back and restores what has been taken or robbed or stolen or even just life. And he gives it back. And that's the beautiful part about the God that we worship. Debbie, thank you so much for sharing your story and being on with me. I'm so glad we got
pleasure,
this.
Holly. Aww. It's been my pleasure.
Love you, girl. Thanks so much.
I love you, too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven? On the hands that hold you now.